Indeed, this is the High Holy Days, Rosh Hashanah, our Feast of Trumpets, which is the new year, Yom Kippur, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, a time of rejoicing as they remember back how it was during that 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. We're going to bring to these microphones a guest that's always here with us when we want to talk about the Jewish Holy Days. We're talking about Steve Herzig. He's the National Director of Friends of Israel, has an excellent book out that'll help you understand, in fact, two volumes, Jewish Culture and Customs, and then more Jewish Culture and Customs. He's so original. But anyway, it is fantastic information that you need to know about. And Steve, they can go to your website to make these purchases, can they not? Give us that website.
Yes, they can, Jimmy. It's foi.org. That's FOI, Friends of Israel, .org.
It'll be a great place for you to visit. And while you're there, you might want to see if you can get a free subscription to their magazine. And that magazine, unbelievable. One of the best magazines ever produced any place in the world. Israel My Glory is the name of it. Excellent articles. You'll want to get a copy of it. Well, Steve, let's get right underway. Actually, we are talking now on the day of Yom Kippur. Had you still been an Orthodox Jew, which you were before you came to know Christ as Lord and Savior, you would not be able to talk to me. This would be a very solemn day, would it not?
Oh, yes, Jimmy. This is zero hour for the Jewish people. And as we talked about just a few days ago, Rosh Hashanah, may your name be inscribed in the Book of Life. This is the time when your name is sealed in either the Book of Life or the Book of Judgment. So this is definitely zero hour for the Jewish people as they fast, as they pray, and as they try to do, as they tried to do good works in order to be in favor of God.
Now, you hit that point again, as they try, and I want to talk about that in a moment. But go back to biblical times with us, if you will, and tell us how Yom Kippur would unfold.
Well, you know, it's such a contrast between today and what it was in the Old Testament economy. When you think in terms of the Torah, specifically Leviticus 16, which outlines Yom Kippur, it's national cleansing that's at stake. The high priest would go and first sacrifice a bull, and the blood would cover his sins. And then he would have two goats, Jimmy. One was for the Lord, and the other was the Azazel, the scapegoat. And actually, the goats, they would draw lots for the goats. One goat would be slain. The other goat would be walked out after the high priest laid his hands upon the sins of the people. And another priest would walk that goat a little over 12 miles and ultimately push it over a ravine because that represented the sins of the people. So the whole idea of blood and of national concern for sin and how it's dealt with, atonement, was the time then. Today, rather than a national perspective of sin, today, Jimmy, it's an individual view of sin, and all the things that go on in the synagogue revolve around each individual.
What do they do since there is no temple up and no high priest to offer the sacrifice there on Yom Kippur?
Jimmy, you just asked the million-dollar question. That is the ultimate question. What do you do today to atone for your sins in light of what the Torah says? Well, there's varied answers. A small minority of very Orthodox Jews, and I remember, believe it or not, 55 years ago, going with my grandmother to a place where they sold chickens, and she did a kapura, which is a covering. And she picked out a live chicken. She wasn't the only one. There were others that were there. And you swing the chicken around the top of your head, allowing the blood to drip down after it has been koshered. The blood drips down, and you actually say, this is my substitute. This is my atonement. So a small minority of Orthodox, very observant Jews take a perverted aspect of the text, believing that the chicken actually covers their sins. Now, that's a very small minority. Today, Jewish people will spend all day in the synagogue. They will be reciting Kol Nidre, very famous song and chant and prayer that really dissolves them of all rash vows that were said, all promises that were given, so to let them off the hook, so to speak. And so that's another thing. The other thing is we go in a liturgy, Jimmy, that is, to me, an incredible one. I still remember it growing up, where I would pound my heart, literally, make a fist, pound my heart, and recite, "For the sins which I have sinned before you." And then in unison, we talk about lying and cheating and bribery and all the various sins outlined. And each time we say one of those sins, we pound our heart and we tell God, we truly are sorry. We have repented. We are turning to you. So Yom Kippur is the time when we come to God begging him to forgive us and seal us in the Book of Life.
And the Jewish world, at a disadvantage without the temple there, of course, they can turn to Jesus Christ, which is the true Messiah. As we always ask you, Steve, how would you use Yom Kippur among our Jewish friends to be able to introduce them to the Messiah?
Well, the first thing to do is to take serious what they take serious. Look, we believe in Jesus, and we believe he's the way, the truth, and the life, but they believe that by going to synagogue, they have a sense of guilt of their sin. That's to be commended. And I think if our listeners would simply desire for their Jewish friend to have a wonderful, healthy year as it's here, and to thank them for the Word of God, that the Word of God has penetrated their hearts, and they know it's because of the Jewish people, I think by acknowledging that and by telling them just how thankful they are. You know, one dear brother who you and I both know so well, whenever he meets a Jewish person, regardless of the time of year, when he finds out they're Jewish, here's what he says. He says, "Man, I am just so thankful for the Jewish people and so thankful for you, because one day a Jewish man changed my life. I've never been the same since I met him, and my life will forever be altered. I love the Jewish people. I thank God for you and all of the Jewish people." Jimmy, they ask two questions right away. Who was this Jewish person, and what in the world did he say that altered your life so? And then he is able to share his testimony. And often he says, most of the time when I share my testimony, they go away saying, "Thanks very much," and they move on. But he said, there's always a few who say, "Wow, I've never heard anything like that. Please tell me more."
Wow, what a great approach. And I know that dear brother well, and boy, he is very effective with using that statement to introduce the Messiah to his Jewish friends. Steve Herzig talking with us about Yom Kippur, reflecting on what did happen in the past and what is the procedure for Yom Kippur today. Steve, we're going to have another conversation next week. I was going to talk about Feast of Tabernacles, but you gave us such an excellent understanding of Yom Kippur. We'll hold that off for next week, because we'll be right in the midst of Feast of Tabernacles. So we'll do that again when we talk next week. Thank you so much, good buddy.
Hey, thank you, Jimmy.